We were about $3 to $3.5 million into it. By the time it came to the summer of 2008, when we finally got the last approval from the town and the state. So great. We're so excited. I call up the banks. We're like, okay, we're ready. And they go, yep, we're not lending right now. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm over $3 million into this. Well, things have slowed down. Little did I know what would happen in September, a month later of 2008. Bernie Madoff, subprime loans. The financial world fell apart like a house of cards. And me, I was the joker on the bottom of the deck. And to tell you the truth, I was not laughing. So here I am. It's the fall of 2008. I've lost everything. I'm broke. And I kind of went into a depression for about a year. During that time, stopped paying my mortgage, stopped paying my car payments. A couple of months later, my son at the time was about 18 years old. Turned to me and said, Dad, look outside. They were towing away our car, my BMW. I was repossessed.
Sure.
That's something that never happened to me before. Eventually, they foreclosed on the home. But because we lived in New Jersey and the country was really going through this crazy foreclosures, it took them a long time before they remembered about us and came back and said, oh, yeah, we're going to move forward on the foreclosure. But I went through this depression for a while. And when I finally started to come out the other side, I said, okay, what do I want to do now?
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 109, we're joined by Martin Salama, known as the architect of the Warrior's Life Code. Martin is a master of mindset transformation, helping people uncover their greatness so they can live their true life potential and embrace what he calls living incredibly full every day. For over a decade, he's been guiding entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants from overwhelm and frustration to clarity, confidence, and consistent success. Through his signature coaching program, The Warrior's Life Code, Martin empowers clients to break free from stress, scale high-ticket offers, and build seven-figure businesses, often in under 2 years. His clients consistently report powerful shifts in direction, renewed focus, and a revitalized sense of purpose that gets them back on track to enjoy life again. Get ready for an inspiring and energetic conversation to help you move from chaos to clarity and start living incredibly full every day. Welcome, Martin, to the Business Superfans Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here with you.
You've got an interesting backstory. I read about it, but I figured I'd hear it from you and share it with our audience. You know, you went through some challenges, and they were pretty steep ones. You ended up punching through, and that in turn turned around your life to where you're now helping other people punch through their challenges. Let's talk about that a little bit, Martin.
I love your analogy of punching through. In 2008, my wife and I were working on a project for about 5 years to build a multi-million dollar health club and tennis center in New Jersey by the Jersey Shore. It took us 5 years because anybody that's in business, and especially in the real estate area of it, you got so many things you got to go through, so many hoops you got to jump through to make sure that everything's right. You've got to find the right land. Then you got to make sure that the feasibility makes sense. Is it worth doing it here? And then you have to go to the township and say, okay, this is what we're looking to do. Okay, we think it's okay. Go find out what you got to do. And then architects, engineers, all that, every time you go back to the township, they'll come up with something else that they want you to figure out.
Surprise.
And this whole time we're going to the banks, and this is the early 2000s, the banks are like, yeah, we love it. We can't wait. They were lending money like crazy in the early 2000s. So this whole time we're funding it, borrowing money, refinancing our home, getting investors and all this. We were about $3 to $3.5 million into it. By the time it came to the summer of 2008, when we finally got the last approval from the town and the state. So great. We're so excited. I call up the banks. We're like, okay, we're ready. And they go, yep, we're not lending right now. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm over $3 million into this. Well, things have slowed down. Little did I know what would happen in September, a month later of 2008. Bernie Madoff, subprime loans. The financial world fell apart like a house of cards.
Right.
And me, I was the joker on the bottom of the deck. And to tell you the truth, I was not laughing.
No, I went through a train wreck myself. I had investment property and I was selling construction management software to home builders. Mm-hmm. All of those were running away from the subdivisions that they were denying were theirs.
Right. So you get me.
Yep.
So here I am. It's the fall of 2008. I've lost everything. I'm broke. And I kind of went into a depression for about a year. During that time, stopped paying my mortgage, stopped paying my car payments. A couple of months later, my son at the time was about 18 years old. Turned to me and said, Dad, look outside. They were towing away our car, my BMW. I was repossessed.
Sure.
That's something that never happened to me before. Eventually, they foreclosed on the home. But because we lived in New Jersey and the country was really going through this crazy foreclosures, it took them a long time before they remembered about us and came back and said, oh, yeah, we're going to move forward on the foreclosure. But I went through this depression for a while. And when I finally started to come out the other side, I said, okay, what do I want to do now? I've been a businessman my whole life. You know, Freddie, they don't call us businessmen anymore. They call us entrepreneurs
now. Right. Same package,
I'm like,
just different label.
Do I want to continue that? Exactly. I said, do I want to continue that? I really didn't love doing it. I was always in the sales end of it, always having to hustle for it. And I didn't love it. So I thought about it and I said, well, what do I like doing? And one of the things I loved doing was getting involved in community events. And I was always a leader. As a leader, I was one of these guys that people would come in and say, but I can't do what you're doing. I'm like, but I don't need you to do what I'm doing. I'm doing that. What are you good at? I asked them questions, figure out what they were good at, and say, okay, let's utilize your potential there. So I looked at that. I said, you know what? That's kind of like coaching. So I looked into it, and I decided to become a life coach. And finally made the decision, went to the coaching school, and I said, look, I can't afford you. They said, go get funding. I said, I can't get funding. My credit is in the crapper. I said, let's come up with a number, and I'll pay you every month. And they said, okay, but here's the deal. You don't get your certification until you finish paying. I was like, that's fair. You know, I don't want to take what I'm learning and then expect you to give me if I haven't finished. So we did that. I paid them pretty much almost at the end of the course, maybe a little after. But we had a great relationship with them and moved forward. And about 2 months before I was about to start the coach training, it was my 24th wedding anniversary. And my wife gave me a very interesting gift that year. She said, I want a divorce. Like, oh, man. Just when I thought I was getting up again, I got knocked down again. And what went through my head is, why does everything keep happening to me? And now I could look back at that statement and recognize that the issue was right there in that statement. By my saying, why is everything happening to me? I was basically saying it was everybody else's fault. Looking to blame everyone else. Now I say things happen through me. I've heard people say things happen for me. I think that's a little selfish, thinking, oh, yeah, everything's just going to come for me. I believe that it happens through you, and you take the responsibility for the good and the bad and the indifferent as it comes along.
It's the choices we make.
Exactly right. People think, oh, if I don't make a decision, everything's fine. When you don't make a decision, you're making a decision.
Exactly.
So I decided at that moment when she told me that I'm still going to go through with coach training. And I think God was tapping me on the shoulders saying, oh, you want to do this? Great. Let's make sure you really understand that you're at the bottom of the barrel and you're moving yourself up and be open for what you're going to learn when you go to this coach training. I went in with an open mind and willing to do anything to move forward. And if I never coach another client again, it was the greatest money I ever spent because it changed my life.
Wow, what a story. What a story. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do now, life coaching. Mm-hmm. Let's explain that for our listeners. Sure. How does that affect not only individuals, but affects business leaders and how they, in turn, interact with their teams and complementary businesses and all that stuff, because it all affects it.
100%, 100%. I'm a life coach. I'm a business coach. I'm a relationship coach. I started as a divorce recovery coach. I just got through the divorce, and going through coaching at the same time helped me get through it. But let's focus on the business side of it a minute. And the interesting thing is, very often when I'm working with businesses, and it's usually the upper echelons, the executives, the owners, and like, they realize very quickly that it's not the business that needs to shift. It's the leadership that needs to shift. And it's the mindset of the leaders, and that they set the culture for the entire company.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So even though I call it business coaching, as we get into it, we start to unwrap and peel back the layers of what's really going on and what the core issue is that needs to be corrected, redesigned, whatever it is, to get the whole company on the right track.
Yeah, because you look at what Sir Richard Branson says. There's no separation really between business life and personal life. People think there is, but really, as he calls it, it's called life. And living, when you're working, you're living. When you're not working, you're living. And so you've got problems at home. That's going to come through at the office. It doesn't matter what position you're in. You can be the janitor and you can be the owner of the company. It's going to come across. It's going to affect everybody in that company because you're having a bad day or a bad week. It's just going to be a mess.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And how you show up is how everybody's going to think that this is the culture of the organization.
Yep.
Especially when you're the top of the heap in a good way. Good way, bad way, you're at the top of the heap, you're the top. What happens there comes down and goes into the, trickles down to everybody else. And we talk about life. And for me, the word life, I turned it into an acronym. After my divorce and going through coach training, I started to evolve. As I evolved, I realized that I needed to like myself if I was ever going to love myself and if everybody was going to love me. So I went through that whole evolution. And one day I was doing something. I got to tell you, Freddie, I'm ADHD. Getting me to sit down and look straight ahead for 10 minutes is impossible. And to close my eyes for 10 minutes is like, what the heck? And I was even doing those guided meditations, mm-hmm. right? So imagine a guy, ADHD, doing meditations, guided meditations. And one of these days, I had this download of information. I loved my life. I loved the direction I was going in my life. And I wanted to show other people how to do that too. So after I finished meditating for 10 minutes, I wrote for about 2 hours. And out of it came the acronym that I created for the word life. And it's live incredibly full every day.
I like that.
And thank you so much. There's a huge difference. You could be happy without any meaning. And you could be doing meaningful things without being happy. Happiness to me is self-love, self-care, even selfish. Meaningful is where the selfless comes in. What are you doing for others? It could be, what are you doing for your company? What are you doing for your community, for the world, for whatever? What legacy could you be leaving? If you have both, then you live incredibly full every day.
No, it makes complete sense. When you package it that way, it completely makes sense. And it's amazing how many people, we've all run across them, that are missing one or two or three components of that acronym.
Right. Oh, yeah. 100%. If you go into every day open with that mindset and say to yourself, I'm going to live incredibly full every day, you're opening yourself up for the world to show you opportunities. If you wake up and you're depressed and saying, I got to go to work, and I've got all these things I got to get done, but I got to meet with my managers and put up with their complaining, they're going to feel that energy.
Absolutely.
And they're going to get right back to you.
Yeah.
But if you wake up in the morning and you go, I'm so excited to get out of bed, I am so appreciative for everything I have in my life, because you know what? Tomorrow it could be gone.
Yep.
And even if it's gone, I appreciate where I am then too, because I know where I've been and where I can get back to. And you walk out. For me, I take a moleskin notebook, a nice quality notebook, and I write three things every day that I'm grateful for. It could be even the most innocuous thing. I have a great cup of coffee today. Doesn't matter. Write three things you're grateful for. And if you do it on a daily basis, the appreciation will start showing up easily. And you won't see the complaining and the blaming. Now you go in and you go tell you have this mindset, attitude of everything's great. All the opportunities are coming. I appreciate everybody around me. And I get to work with these people. Now it's a cooperative.
Yep. Yeah.
Things start to go in
because
the right direction.
Now you're starting to get everybody into what I would say. My example is racing rowboat. If you think of a racing rowboat, you've got eight people in it. Everybody's got a single oar. And so everybody's got to be in line and you got to get everybody in synchronization with the mission, with the direction. Otherwise, you ain't going no place. You're not even going in a circle.
And so, if you only got one oar, you're going in circles, man.
Yeah, people going in zero synchronization. The boat's going like this at best.
Exactly right. That's where you show the difference between a leader and a boss or a manager.
Right.
Right? If you're able to walk in and say, I value you, I value all of you, and I value what you bring to the company. I think of a guy like Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I heard him say one day, I was actually in Arizona when he said this, I want to be the dumbest guy in my own business. I want to surround myself by people who are smarter in their area of expertise to tell me what I should be doing. Will I listen? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm going to be open to what they say and understand it before I make my decisions.
Yeah, no, it's a very valid aspect because at the end of the day, the other way around is you've got someone that thinks that they know it all, and then they start directing everybody, and everybody now is reactionary. Nobody's going proactive anymore because they're afraid of getting called out for stepping out of line. And that transcends to everybody else in the company. They're talking to a supplier, they're talking to a prospective customer, an existing customer. You can't hide it. The tonality is going to come across, the energy, even if you're on the phone. And I tell people, even in emails, the choice of words you pick will not be the best choice of words.
Right.
Reactionary.
Right.
So one of my quotes in a book that I wrote called Creating Business Superfans is people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition. And that's what you just said right off the bat.
Exactly right. It's funny what you said just now about emails. It made me think of my daughter 20 years ago. She's 37 now, so she was a teenager. It was a time when text messaging was starting. And I tried to explain to her that you have to be careful what you write in your text because the person reading it on the other side is not reading it the same way you're writing
right.
it. They may take what you wrote as confrontational when you didn't mean it that way.
Yep. We've all experienced that multiple times.
Right.
The reality, an individual's perception is their own reality, right or wrong.
Right.
And you can't, and you're not going to talk them out of it because they've got to talk themselves out of it because that's their perception. Exactly right. That text message comes across. They perceive it that way. That's how they're going to take it.
Right. Exactly. I have a cousin who's 20 years older than me. She's in her late 70s, early 80s. And when she writes a text message, it's all in capital letters. And I'm like, you're screaming. She goes, no, I can't read it otherwise.
Yes. Right. You to look at it as screaming. And most people do. Makes sense. So share a story of how you transformed somebody that was going through some challenges, whether it was a business guy, an individual, their fundamentals are fundamentals as far as I'm concerned. And that person became a super fan of you and introduced you to the people that were needing some of the assistance that you provide.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, would it be okay if I read a testimonial from somebody?
Absolutely.
Great. So this is from Josh. When I started working with Mario, I was ready to give up all hope of living a happy life. I thought this was my last shot, and if this didn't work, I would give up and become a tool for other people's happiness. I didn't understand that I had internal limiting beliefs and rational lies that were keeping me tied to my old way of thinking. Now, it's interesting that he used the word rationalize. because I take the word rationalize and break it down into two words. Rational lies. We tell ourselves when we're rationalizing that it's okay to do something. But what we're really doing is giving ourselves permission to lie to ourselves.
I've never heard of it that way.
Right. So he put that into the testimonial. Since I started working with Martin, I've gained positive clarity on life. I've accepted my own power and choice. I've taken responsibility for my choices and let go of those choices that were not mine. I've decided to live in abundance and gratitude. Because of these changes Martin taught me, I'm happier, I have better relationships, and have more clients because I'm being my real positive self. Looking back, all I wanted was hope that I could start to heal. Needless to say, I have that now.
Wow, what a testimonial. I would classify as a solid super fan of how you transformed
their raving fan.
Yeah. So let's talk about some things that, you know, you talked about writing at least 2 to 3 appreciations and gratitude, expressing gratitude every day. What can a business leader or an individual at a company that is frustrated about their job, they're frustrated about where they're at in their situation? I've known a few people that got themselves terminated, and so now they're freaking out. And it was part of it. It was their own doing.
Right. Yeah. So imagine we take what we're talking about here, about appreciation. And he starts off every day saying, I've got to change my mindset. How can I do that? How can I stop being frustrated and replace it? How about if I start by looking for ways to appreciate the people that work with me? So instead of saying, oh, I appreciate this cup of coffee, I appreciate that Mary did this report in such a great way. Right? And then he turns around and he gives that appreciation directly to Mary and says, you did exactly what I asked you. You went beyond what I was looking for. And use that as a way of shifting that lack mentality of frustration into one of abundance and looking for the people around him that can help him grow the company, and he can help them grow themselves and the company as well.
I think that goes as well for coworkers, because we've both experienced where coworkers just don't get along. They're focused on all the negative stuff of the other coworker, and they're pointing fingers and they're running into HR and blah, blah, blah about this worker and blah, blah, blah about that worker. And I mean, it happens all the time.
And let's be honest, at the end of the day, HR is not out for either one of those people. They're out for the company.
Exactly. But the reality is, those people really should take time to stop looking at the negatives, look at the positives, and then walk up to that person and put your personal self aside and just express gratitude for what they bring to the table. Change the that will change the dynamics. It'll lower the temperature. And these people just have misperceptions of their coworkers. And like I said earlier, an individual's perception is his own reality. And they need to have that conversation with one another, and amazing things happen.
Exactly right. They have assumptions and expectations.
Yep.
I found that expectations are nothing more than disappointments waiting to happen. Because if you have an expectation, 99% of the time you haven't communicated it correctly to the person that you have the expectation with. So they're doomed to fail.
Right.
So instead, if you go to them and say, I want to work this out, I want this to work, let's find ways to communicate so that we both come in with an appreciative side, saying, you know what? I understand what you do is very important and very necessary. The problem is, I might not understand how you do it or why you do it. And if I did, it will give me an opening to understand how I can help you. And maybe you can help me.
Right. Because I've seen, and I've experienced this, I'm bringing this up, where people were pointing fingers at each other. They're the ones making all the mistakes. Well, I'm the one saving it, everything else. And the other one says, no, they're making all the mistakes and I'm saving everybody else. And instead, time out. Let's turn the page, start with a clean sheet of paper and let's look at all the positives each one brings and start emphasizing on that.
Right. Exactly. Look for the appreciation. Look for a reason why they're in the company. They can't be all bad.
Right.
If they are, you should be getting rid of them. But the only way to know that is to understand where they're coming from and then say, why are they all bad? Without having a conversation, you're going to get nowhere anyway.
Right.
So what do you lose by sitting down and saying, you know what? Let's put our feelings aside and let's not attack each other. Let's address the things that are bothering us about each other's jobs, what they do.
Right.
And how can we figure that out?
And you said a key thing there. It's not the person. You got to take the person out of the equation.
Not.
Like that.
If you do that, they no longer feel like they're being attacked.
Right. Right.
Because that's what's happening.
You can tell body language. And when you got two coworkers that aren't getting along, that affects the entire company. And that affects the culture. Everybody's kind of upset. And if it prolongs, it really becomes poisonous.
Yep. Yep. It's like putting a drop of poison in a pool of water. One drop isn't going to make a difference. But every time you do something, you're putting another drop into that pool of water. Eventually, it's going to be more poison than water.
Right.
If you can understand that your contribution to the pool could be positive or negative, and if you always come up with appreciation and opportunity, you will bring it out for everybody else. They won't do what you say until they see that you're doing it yourself.
Right. Instead of putting poison in, you're putting oxygen.
Exactly.
That's how I look at it. So let's talk a little bit more here about how do you work with leaders?
Okay. I think a big part of it has to start with understanding what the leader's mindset is going in. So if I find that someone has a reactive type of personality, where everything that's coming their way, they're going to react to, which is who I was. What I learned about myself going through my divorce was that those were my default tendencies. I had to be willing to say, just because they're my default tendencies doesn't mean they can't change. I had to learn how to respond instead of react and understand that every conversation I was having with anybody was a confrontation. And I was going in on the defensive, taking everything personally and being ready. You remember that guy that says, let's get ready to rumble.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that was me. That was my mindset. Everybody that was going to come to me, they were going to attack me. So I had to understand that, wait a minute, it's not them. It's me. And they're coming to attack me because they already know I'm going to be on the defensive.
Right.
So I've got to start to diffuse the fire before it happens. And how do I do that? By responding instead of reacting. And it didn't take overnight to do. It took a while. And as a matter of fact, I took what I learned and put it into my coaching program and my book, which is called Warrior to Warrior. Okay? Go from somebody who worries about everything to a warrior, somebody who could go through adversity and come out stronger. I took an example that my kids learned in school when the firemen came to teach them about fire safety. And the fireman says, there's three words I want you to know when you're in a fire situation. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop what you're doing, drop to the floor, and roll away from the smoke. I said, you know what? That's who I am when I get into a tense situation. I'm ready to freak out and run to the door, and it could be the fire door.
Right.
So instead, I taught myself, and then I put it together and teach my clients, stop what you're doing. And before you react the way you've done 99 times out of 100 to start the confrontation, stop. Don't react. Think. Instead of think about what they're saying to you. Are you taking it personally? Will it change your life? Is it about you or is it about them? Is it about another situation? And that you're just assuming it's about you. And then respond. And the think part could be easy as saying, you know what? I need to think about that a minute. Now you're letting them know that what they're saying has value and you're not just attacking it on surface value.
Right.
And then when you come back and respond, now you're saying, okay, I get it. Most people will realize the day after that they screwed up and that they reacted.
Yep. Sent that email, so I said, okay. Sent that text message. And then you go, oh, rats.
What the heck did I do? Yeah. So I said, okay, if you can figure out that the next day you screwed up, stop. Think about how you could have done it differently. And here's the most important part. Go back to that person and apologize, not expecting anything back in return. With a true apology of, let's figure this out now.
Very important advice, because we've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all done it. That's good advice, because it's the same thing in sales. I teach people, before you start chasing that prospect, if you're chasing, what are they doing? They're running.
They're up.
I'll use the example, go dating. You're trying to attract an attractive individual, and you start calling and pursuing them, they're running. So you want to reverse it, and you want to become attractive, so they're coming to you. And what you're really right. advising is, if you stop and think before you react, and then react appropriately, you become much more attractive mm-hmm. because their expectations are that you're going to react the way you've always reacted, and you react differently, they're going to go, whoa, did that just happen?
Right. Right. Exactly. It turns it, it's a stop, drop, and roll to stop, think, and respond.
Very good advice.
Yeah.
Very good advice.
Thank you. And it took me a long time to get it down, and it takes a while for my clients to get it too. And I tell them, every chance that it happens is a learning experience. It's not a failure. It's a way to understand how to do it better the next time.
It's like failing forward. At least you're failing forward. You're improving versus failing backwards
exactly.
where you're sinking yourself deeper into the hole.
Exactly right.
Let's talk a little bit more about the programs that you offer.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to know?
I mean, is it just there's no set program, or you have a structured setup?
Yeah. So I have a few different programs. One is helping people shift their mindset from lack to abundance. On a deeper level, it's about helping them shift from self-conscious to self-aware. When you're self-conscious, it's your ego getting in the way. It's negativity. It's blame. It's fear. Okay? All those negative things. And when you're self-aware, it comes from humility, self-worth, and self-love. If you shift there, everything else will start to fall into place. Another thing I've been doing is working with clients, specifically mostly coaches and consultants, to help them get to a seven-figure business within 2 years, guaranteed.
Oh.
So how I do that is I put in what I call a risk reversal strategy. I tell them, I'm going to get you to $1 million. Is it worth it to pay me $100,000 if you get there? Yeah, but I don't have it now. Good, I don't want it now. What I want is a small amount now on the information that's going to get you going. And then I don't want you to pay me again until you have results. So then you're paying me on results. How much of a super fan, raving fan would I have if they know they don't have to pay me again until they're successful? I'm going to keep staying there until they get successful. I won't give up on you if you don't give up on you.
That's an important statement right there, because a lot of people give up on themselves.
Right. And when they do, I'm like, I'm in their face in a kind, loving way saying, why are you giving up on yourself? They have to understand it's a three-legged stool. The first leg is having the right systems in place. The second leg, it doesn't matter how much you believe in me and my program. If you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to take the information I'm teaching you and coaching you and putting it into process, because you're holding yourself back. So a big part of it is bringing in that lack to abundance mindset. And then the third one is teaching them to be scalable so that they don't have to do everything themselves. And understanding something I learned, I've been doing for a long time, but then I read a book by a gentleman named Dan Sullivan called Who Not How. You know that book?
I've heard of it.
So Who Not How basically says, I wake up in the morning and I said, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? You're asking the wrong question. The question is, who am I going to get to do this for me? As I talked about Kiyosaki before, him saying, I want to be the dumbest person in the room, I say, The people that know how work for and with the people that know why. So it's the same thing. You want to surround yourself with the people that know how to do the things you need them to do, and they're happy to do it.
Right.
Because that's their expertise. That's their zone of genius. And you stay in your zone of genius.
Oh, well said, because you're maximizing time. Because that's the most expensive commodity in the world. You can be a multi-trillionaire, and you can't buy more of it, and you can't buy it back.
That's right.
So that's the other program I have going on right now, is helping people get there. And they don't pay me the next level until they're getting a 2-to-1 return on their investment. Then they don't pay me again until they're getting a 5-to-1 return on their investment. The final payment comes when they get to 10-to-1. And they make $1 million, so they're very happy to finish paying me the $100,000.
Yeah, I'd pay $100,000 and get $1 million all day long.
Exactly. And they don't keep paying me when they pass $1 million. But by then, we've built a partnership, a relationship, where we're looking to ways to do business together. We're going to be in masterminds together, true masterminds, Napoleon Hill-style masterminds.
Yep.
Growing ourselves, growing our businesses, and helping others grow theirs as well.
Great. Yeah. Read a few Napoleon Hill stuff. Some of the old guys, but they're the solid guys.
Yep. Outwitting the devil. Love that one.
Martin, it's been a great conversation, and I can't believe how fast the time has flown by. But how can people find you?
I've made it very simple, Freddie. Connectwithmartin.com. It's that simple. You go there, you can find out some free gifts I've got. You can download them for free. You can buy my book. You can set up an appointment to talk to me and see how we can work together.
Excellent. We'll make sure that's in the show notes for our listeners. And great conversation. And definitely would like to continue the conversation down the road and have you on the show again.
Oh, thank you so much. It would be my pleasure. I've enjoyed every moment with you.
Thank you.
Hey, business superfan, superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook power move to attract ideal clients, turn them into advocates, and accelerate your business success. So here's the top insight from today's episode. Your business breakthrough starts the moment you stop reacting to everything and start responding with clarity, ownership, and purpose. So here's your business growth action step. Today, write down one moment where you typically react in frustration and replace it with a simple stop, think, respond strategy to shift energy and strengthen your leadership presence. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, or you know of a fellow business leader who could benefit, share it with them. Support the show with a donation and grab the full notes in the show and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who champion your brand.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.